from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of October 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Bakes of Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, USDA is reporting a banner year for agricultural cooperatives. A subsidiary of grain company Bunge International in Argentina has been penalized for potential tax evasion. And fertilizer company Mosaic has reported an 18% drop in quarterly earnings. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and other ag news stories. As we close out our program today, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And along the way, we'll hear from University of Illinois weed scientist Aaron Hager. He has some advice for those wanting to sow wheat after corn. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
In Chicago for a Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day narrowly mixed. December contract and the soft red winter wheat settled at $8.73. It was a penny and a half higher. July there, the harvest month for next year at $8.51.5, up 2.75. The hard red was down 8.75 on its settlement price for the July at $8.73.5. December corn futures back in Chicago a half higher on the close, but not a settlement. $7.57.75. The March at $7.59.5 in the corn pit, down a quarter. May at $7.53.75, down 1.75. In July at $7.46, down a penny and a half. September unchanged, $6.70. In December of next year at $6.32.75, a gain of a penny and 3/4 for the day. November beans, $15.31 today, up a half cent. The January at $15.31, down 2.25. The March at $15.03, a penny and a quarter higher. And the May futures at $14.61.75, up a quarter. July at $14.48.75, up a penny and 3/4. Next year's November at $13.34, up 9 on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the October at 123.75, down 20. December 35, lower at 126.25. And feeder cattle finished the November at 146.80, up 30 cents for the day. January there at 149.57.5, up 42.5. December lean hog 75.87.5, down 97.5 cents per 100 pounds on this Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil futures at $87.77 a barrel, down $4.12. The November RBOB gasoline at $2.79 and 2 tenths, that's down 7 7/10 of a cent. And ethanol at $2.39, a penny and 8 tenths higher on the afternoon. So the difference between the two is just about 40 cents to the positive side for the spread. Natural gas at $3.39, that's finished a penny, or rather, it did finish a penny and 4 tenths lower for the day. And November heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.06, down 6 4/10 of a cent. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,778.40 an ounce, up $4.30 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Yet this afternoon, scattered showers, cloudy with a high of just 70 degrees for the afternoon. And then as we make our way into the evening, those showers will turn maybe possibly to thunderstorms coming before 1 a.m., gradually clearing out with a low of 56 on a south wind at about 6 miles an hour. The chance this evening, a precipitation set of 30%. Thursday, mostly sunny skies and a high of 80 degrees. That's right, Thursday, a high of 80. With that south wind at 6 to 11, it'll increase to 12 to 17 by the afternoon, with those winds gusting all the way to 26. And then by Thursday night, the winds will carry in another chance of showers. It'll be mostly cloudy and a low of 47. That's Thursday evening, that is. And on Friday, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high near 56 with a north-northwest wind at about 8 miles an hour. Friday night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, and a low of 42. Saturday, partly sunny and 52. Saturday night, a low of 34 and partly cloudy. And Sunday, sunny skies and 52. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural commodity markets. On the phone line with us, Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it wasn't much of a day, at least in terms of change, but the stand that soybeans made was probably pretty important. What'd you think?
Oh, I definitely think so. In fact, you know, we don't have settlement prices yet, but if we can actually find a settlement that stays at the 15.31.5, that's a better closing price than what we had yesterday, and certainly a nice signal on candlesticks. We went down. We've got a long wick to the bottom, and we came back out, closed above the 100-day moving average. Boy, you know, all of it looks pretty positive. And I think some of it's being driven, too, because when you look at over the last 4 years, we've seen the bottom come in November beans in 08 on the 16th of October, 09 on the 5th of October, 010 on the 4th of October, and 011 on the 4th of October. And we know what tomorrow is, so I think maybe we saw some of our shorts get a little bit nervous, too.
And your expectations then would be for a better overnight trade tonight still?
Good heavens, I hope so. I think everybody's tired of red. Red used to be my favorite color, not anymore. it's definitely the most encouraging day that we've had in quite a while now, at least since the report. And so I think that it showed some really good strength today, and we just hope that that's going to be a follow-through for tomorrow.
What are your expectations as we look into next week and forward to both the crop production and the WASDE figures?
Well, you know, like any week that that precedes a USDA report, we will see a lot of positioning going on, especially when you start to get into the Tuesday-Wednesday time frame. So I would think that we'll see a little more action. We haven't had the volume we'd like to see, especially on the overnights, and it'll give people opportunity to try and make up their mind where they want to go. You know, the problem with the report that's coming out next Thursday is just that I still don't think anybody feels confident in how it's going to impact the supply and demand side of this. And, you know, we still have FSA numbers coming in. We have, so acreage numbers could still be changing. There's just so many things that are in this. So I guess I'd probably have to sum it up by saying we will see a very cautious trade.
Do you think that the numbers might look pretty much like they, even if the acreage changes, that those numbers for corn at least might look pretty much like what they came out in the month of September for the crop production total of production?
I would think so. I don't anticipate that they're going to change the yields dramatically. I think that they probably are going to be maybe a little bit, it's early on, let's put it that way, you know, so I think that they'll be hesitant to make a lot of big changes there. So I think, you know, you could see that. Now, on beans, we might see a little bit of a bump, you know, as far as the yield change goes. You know, we saw FC Stone's numbers yesterday come in at 38.2, a pretty significant bump. But, you know, it's anybody's guess on an October report.
And then outside things that might be influencing the marketplace, I think Spain's been in the headlines for a while again.
Oh, my goodness. What country in the Eurozone isn't in the headlines right now? You know, things just continue to look worse. When you look at the unemployment numbers in the Eurozone countries, every single one of them is higher this year than it was a year ago at this time. When you look at the non-Eurozone countries, most of those countries have shown some improvement. And so things in the Eurozone do not bode well. Germany looks like it's not performing nearly as well, and some of that is because of the heavy debt that they're carrying. But at this moment, the U.S. is very much focused on the presidential debates that are coming, you know, the election that's coming in the fall and everything else. And so Eurozone is there, but it's not impacting us as much. We saw the dollar jump today on better job numbers, 162,000. That's the highest we've seen in a long, long time. I hope that when we see the adjustments next on the next report, that we're not going to find, like we do so often, where all of a sudden it was a much bigger number than it should have been. But you just don't know. The market reacts each day to whatever the new news is. And, you know, on the E15 side, I don't know if you saw it today, Todd.
I did.
Yeah, Ford came out and said that the 2013s are cleared for E15, and GMC came out and actually said 2012-2013 is cleared. So those are really good things. And, you know, the ratio between gasoline and ethanol right now still continues to favor ethanol production. Those are all positives for us. Egypt snubbed us again. when it comes to buying wheat. You know, they and that wheat market is so fickle. You know, when Egypt said they were going to buy some and didn't say who it was from, then the market got positive. Then when they snubbed us, it got negative. Then when Russia announces that they're going to sell, it gets negative. And then when Russia does sell, it gets positive because they've actually sold more bushels. And we know that down the road, that means they're not going to have as much to actually export. And so that market is, it's like a yo-yo right at this point in time. But not unusual for harvest time for corn and beans. It definitely sits in the background. I heard you talk about thunderstorms maybe coming in. I think it's interesting to know that if you look at the drought calendar, so many people have forgotten about drought. We're so busy harvesting, and now we're hoping that we don't get a lot of rain. But the seasonal drought calendar looks really tough all the way through December 31st. Persistent drought throughout the United States from Indiana all the way west, with some chance till December 31st of our area and a small part of Texas actually seeing some improvement, but very little chance for the rest of the country. And we were up to Wisconsin over the weekend. The fellow that works with my brother, they dug a hole 9 feet deep, no water. And one of our clients in northern Iowa dug 14 feet.
Yeah,
no
Iowa,
water.
Iowa's still really tough, still really dry. And I think earlier in the week when we ran that, this is one of the reasons we try to make sure we run the state statisticians, is I think 97% of the subsoil moisture was very short. I can't recall that number, but it was really high.
It's extremely high, yeah. And so I think that all of that will begin to come back in. It's also interesting that today that it appears that we have found somewhat of a bottom in beans, because all you saw in the headlines in Wall Street Journal today, commodity engines stalling because of a reduction in China growth. We saw, you know, today China's been on a holiday this week so far. Today's their last day of holiday. And everybody does pay a lot of attention to them. They use 42% of all the base metals in the world at this point in time, and 11% of the global crude. They take 70% of all the new crude that they find. And so they are definitely a driver, but I think it's kind of ironic because their growth is only going to be at 8 to 9% this year rather than 10%, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's been riding in the markets. It as far as I'm concerned, it was a good positive day today. We closed above 750 on December corn. We had a great close on November beans. You know, wheat hung in there. This just feels like a pretty darn good day.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That is Jackie Vaik. She's with Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report each and every Wednesday afternoon. Well, a personal moment here now. There was a funeral this morning that I missed, and I didn't mean to do so. For the last year, you've maybe heard me mention from time to time heading to the tavern in Elkhart. That's my hometown, for fried chicken on Wednesday nights. I try to get there about every 3 weeks or so to have supper with Dad because, well, it's Dad. He meets Joe and Babutel there every Wednesday night. They won't be there tonight. They had fried chicken today instead at Joe's funeral. I can't believe I missed that one. I am so very sorry. This earth, well, it's lost another farmer, one that won't be replaced, one that was there my entire life. Joe Butel was the quietest man I've ever known, but he listened to every word. We could all learn something from him.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at WILLAG.org. There we divide the Closing Market Report up into several distinct pieces. You can listen to the whole show or any piece you want. The futures market, the weather market, the cash grain, and even the ag news segment. Speaking of which, Dave Dickey is here now. He's your Director of Agricultural Programming and has today's ag news.
In agricultural news, USDA says that farmer, rancher, and fishery cooperatives posted record sales and income in 2011, shattering previous record sales in 2008 by about $10 billion and eclipsing the income record by about $500 million. Net income for all agricultural co-ops was a record $5.4 billion in 2011, surpassing the previous high of $4.9 billion in 2008. Co-ops experienced a 25% increase in net income from 2010, or about $1 billion. USDA said the records were set on the strength of double-digit price increases for dairy products, cotton, livestock, grains, and oilseeds in 2011. Farm inputs also increased by double digits in 2011, led by feed, fertilizer, and fuel prices. Argentina has affirmed the suspension of the local subsidiary of international grain trader Bunge Limited from a key grain registry on charges of tax evasion. Exclusion from the registry means the income tax withheld on domestic grain trades rises to 15% from 2% and imposes the withholding of a 10.5% sales tax up from 8%. Bunge also faces new approval requirements imposed for domestic shipping permits. A Bunge spokesperson declined to comment. Earlier this year, Bunge lost an appeal in federal court against suspension from the registry over the charges. Mosaic Company's fiscal first quarter earnings fell 18% as the fertilizer producer's sales declined because of production problems and weak demand in China and India. The Plymouth, Minnesota company struggled to meet phosphate demand due to longer than normal annual plant repairs, as well as disruptions from Hurricane Isaac at its Louisiana facilities at the end of August. Sales at Mosaic were further hurt by low Mississippi River levels, which slowed fertilizer shipments. For the quarter ending August 31st, Mosaic reported net income of $429.4 million, or $1.01 a share, down from $526 million, or $1.17 a share a year earlier. Revenue slipped to $2.51 billion from $3.08 billion a year earlier. And a private survey shows that U.S. businesses hired fewer workers in September than August. Payroll processor ADP says companies added 162,000 jobs last month. That's below August's total of 189,000. The Labor Department will offer a more complete picture of September hiring on Friday. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined in studio now, actually by phone line. Aaron Hager here on campus is with us. He's a weed scientist at the U of I and has some advice for producers who plan to put soft red winter wheat in this fall behind corn stocks, of course. Thanks for taking the time with us, Aaron. In this week's IPM Bulletin, which will be up on Thursday afternoon on the website, you write an article about what to do with volunteer corn, whether that happens to be glyphosate resistant or otherwise. What are the things producers will be faced with?
Well, it's an unusual season, Todd, of course, in many respects, and one in particular was the number of farmers who had expressed an interest in trying to follow corn this year with winter wheat. And usually for most of the rotations in Illinois, wheat is going to follow soybeans. But again, given the uncertainties or the challenges that many face this year, I think some are interested in trying to sow wheat after corn. So what we've seen quite a bit of this year so far with the early harvest that we've had for corn, the environment, the soil conditions, the rainfall that many areas of the state have had have all really culminated together, if you would, to provide a really good environment for volunteer corn to emerge in these harvested cornfields. Now, as we indicated in the bulletin, you know, emerged volunteer corn at this time of year, we generally consider that to be a good thing. And simply the reason is that it'll winter kill off, and that's it's simply that much less volunteer corn that we would have to contend with the following year. However, this year, with more farmers interested in trying to sow wheat after corn, in these fields where these stands of volunteer corn are very dense, the suggestion is that they probably should try to control that volunteer corn before they do sow wheat. And especially if there's no, you know, substantial or killing frost that would occur between now and when they do decide to plant the or to sow the winter wheat. So what we further discuss in the bulletin were simply a couple of options that farmers could consider. Number one, of course, would be tillage. If tillage could effectively control the emerged corn, certainly that's an option that farmers could consider. Others have asked about trying to control the volunteer corn chemically. And so in the article that we published in the bulletin, we went through a few choice options that farmers could consider for effective control of volunteer corn. One, of course, would be glyphosate. It would be very effective at controlling corn. However, it would not be effective if the volunteer corn came from a corn field that was grown to a glyphosate-resistant hybrid in 2012. If that's the case, then the farmers would have to look at alternative herbicides. One that could potentially be used would be Gramoxone. Many times, Gramoxone does not really provide very good control of a first stand of corn that maybe a farmer wants to destroy and replant. But generally, we would expect the control of the volunteer corn at this time of year to be a bit higher. Now, of course, we'd have to also bring into consideration we wouldn't be able to tank mix Gramoxone with things, obviously not with atrazine, and not with Metribuzin either, simply because Metribuzin is not labeled for a pre-plant application before wheat. So it would need to be Gramoxone by itself. And the other products that we typically associate with very good activity on volunteer corn, things like the post-grass herbicides, Post or Post Plus, Fusion, Fusilade, Select, Assure 2, these products are very effective on controlling volunteer corn, but each of those materials has a rotational interval or a specified number of days that must elapse between when the application is made and when a rotational crop such as winter wheat can be sown in these fields. And quite simply, the rotational interval for those products is way too long to allow them to be used before we plant wheat. There is one exception to that, a product called Targa. The label of Targa does allow the application, a pre-plant application before wheat to be made, with essentially no waiting interval between the application and planting. And finally, we also caution farmers if they do plan to try to sow wheat in fields where residual herbicides or any herbicide, for that matter, was used in either corn or soybean this year. The first step, of course, is to go and check the label of all the herbicides that have been previously applied to that field. Each of those more than likely has a rotational interval to small grains. And we need to make sure, again, given the very dry conditions that we've had this year, that those rotational intervals are as fully satisfied as possible.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us this afternoon. We do appreciate that, Aaron, and we'll hear from you again soon, I'm sure.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Aaron Hager is a weed scientist at the University of Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. In just a few moments, we'll talk with folks in Logansport, Indiana, about the cash grain market.
This agricultural report is made possible with support from Country Financial, now offering protection programs for the 2013 planting season, like Federal Crop Insurance. Federal Crop Insurance information is available today from your local Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
This is the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market on the phone line with us. Scott Butcher at the Andersons at their Logansport facility. Good afternoon to you, Scott. How are you?
Good. How are you, Todd?
I'm really, really good. I bet you've settled things down there. Quiet day, I would think, today, but maybe there are a few folks trying to haul in something or other.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of movement today. I mean, most of the day we were cloudy and scattered showers, whatever you want to call it. Now the looks like the sun is actually attempting to come out, so a little bit of positive news, I guess, for the afternoon.
What's your thought on the marketplace today and the basis?
Well, things were really quiet today, not much activity at all. You know, you see continue to see soybeans want to trade lower. Now, we did kind of evidently find a little bit of a floor today and then bounce back up, even closed higher on the day, I guess, which is a good sign for beans. They've kind of, you know, we've lost quite a bit there recently. Corn really, you know, kind of struggled most of the day to do much of anything, just kind of wants to hang around that one, you know, $7.50 to $8 area. Cash bids this evening, cash corn at Delphi, $7.73, and cash beans, $15.10.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
You bet.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons there at their Logansport facility. It's called Climbers in Indiana. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report for Wednesday afternoon to talk about the cash grain market. Does that each and every Wednesday. You can hear him again if you'd like on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, Drew Lerner from Kansas City, and World Weather Incorporated on the phone line this afternoon, as usual. Drew, been a rainy couple of days here. I'm hopeful that it'll clear out, but I'm wondering whether you think it might or might not.
Well, I'm not sure. I've got a lot of good news here. We're going to clear out a little bit, only temporarily. Some partial clearing will likely occur as we get into the night tonight, actually, and then we'll have a little hole tomorrow that will last for a few hours, and the next frontal system will already begin pushing into the region tomorrow afternoon with increased cloudiness again and a chance for showers by tomorrow evening for Illinois. And then, of course, the same kind of thing can be applied to our neighbors to the east, Indiana and Ohio. We'll see something similar just a little bit later for the break. It has been kind of showery and ugly, really, the last couple of days across a big part of the eastern Midwest, and field progress has not advanced very well. And it looks like for the earliest opportunity for improvement in that will probably come on Sunday and continuing on into maybe Monday and possibly Tuesday. Then we get another frontal system coming across the region late Tuesday night into Wednesday. Might produce a little bit of shower activity. Shouldn't last very long, though, and then we'll be back with some more dry weather to finish out the week next week. So conditions will get a little bit better, I think, but in general, we're certainly not making much progress right now.
For the Great Plains states, for the hard red winter wheat-growing regions to the south of there, what do you see for their sowing season?
Well, you know, we've had a couple of decent rain events here recently in the southern plains, and I think that they are in a better position now than they've been in a couple of years, actually, at least as far as Texas and southern Oklahoma is concerned for planting. We are going to see another storm system evolve across some of that region about a week from now, and it'll continue into the latter half of next week, and during that period of time, there'll be another fairly big boost in soil moisture that will occur in Texas, Oklahoma, maybe southern Kansas. The problem, Mary, in hard red wheat country right now is actually northern Kansas, northward through Nebraska, all the way up into, all the way up into Canada. Most of the northern U.S. plains and Canada's prairies have seen less than half of normal rainfall for the last 30 days, and many, many areas less than 25% of normal. Some of the wheat crop that's been planted is just sitting there doing absolutely nothing. That area of the country is going to continue quite dry, going deeply into the autumn season.
And finally, you've been watching the waters off the Pacific coast, the Pacific Ocean waters, and their temperatures and what that might mean for the winter season El Nino. Can you give me some quick assessments?
Yeah, the El Nino phenomenon that was supposed to evolve has still taken its sweet time trying to get its act together. It looked pretty good in August and late July. It looked like the event was going to evolve and we were going to see all the necessary implications from El Nino. But since then, conditions have deteriorated quite a bit and the ocean temperatures are actually fairly close to normal right now with not a lot of a sign of a big warming taking place. So what that means is we're going to have a slightly El Nino-biased winter, but for the most part, it's going to be a neutral ENSO year, which suggests that our 18-year cycle, and some of the other cycles that occur during the winter months will have by far more influence on our weather. And the bottom line to that is that we should see the eastern United States colder than normal with less than usual precipitation. The north central U.S. will likely be warmer than normal and also drier than usual.
Thank you so much, Drew.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated. I'm Todd Gleason. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report.